Hi, I'm Callie Miller, adult child of an alcoholic. I've spent the last several decades trying to understand and heal from growing up with two alcoholic parents. One thing I've learned in all this healing, we need to live the benefits of our healing and focus on joy every day, even as we continue to heal. Join me as we explore what it means to be an ACOA, learn the mind-body practices and tools that will help us heal, and learn how to hold both joy and healing all at once. We can hold both, we deeply deserve both, and we'll do it together. This is Change of Air.
Hello, everyone. So excited to be with you again. Welcome, welcome. I want to talk to you about what I am calling the year of noticing. I didn't set out to do this. I definitely did not begin this year and think, you know what I'm going to do this year? I'm going to pay extra attention. I'm going to really pause as much as I can. None of this has been intentional. It's not what I set out to do this year, but this is the first full year now, a little over a year, that I've been traveling to different places every few months. After, you may remember me sharing this, after getting rid of my permanent residence in Joshua Tree, getting a little apartment in San Diego, tiny, and then spending most of my time traveling to different places for a couple months at a time. This is something I have always wanted to do. It is something I have always dreamed of. It is also something I truly never thought that I could do, given my upbringing, given all the quote-unquote healing I had to do. I just didn't think, which is wild, given what I do for a living, but I truly did not think that someone like me, growing up in a home where we were taught, you know, having needs at all was just fundamentally a problem. Certainly that kind of girl didn't think she could grow up to do her biggest dreams, have her biggest dreams come true, make her biggest dreams come true. Somewhere inside of me, somewhere between making, you know, this decision to live this way, which it's been amazing. Also, if you hear any sort of noises in the background, I am in Oaxaca, Mexico, and love all the little street sounds, all the vendors who come by and like offer hot tamales and you can run down and get them, which is utter magic. You may hear them in the background recording anyway. But somewhere in making the decision not only to live this way, but then living this way, somewhere between like making travel plans and getting used to living out of like a single suitcase for months at a time, and really trying to enjoy both like the new place I'm in, like being up. Do you hear him? Do you hear the hot tamale guy? Amazing. I'll have to run down after. He has the best tamales verde in town. But somewhere in trying to balance seeing everything there is to see, for example, in Oaxaca where I am now or where I just was like in Utah. Do you hear him? Hot tamales. Hot tamales. Oh, so good. So good. Somewhere in all of that and also trying to balance, you know, I want to go see everything in my new place. Like when I was in Utah, I wanted to hike every single hike, but I also wanted to live, just have weekends that were down weekends and not feel I had to go somewhere or urgently see everything. I hope you're all hearing hot tamales. It's amazing. It's in my head. Like it's a song I sing in my head throughout the day. Hot tamales, hot tamales. They're so good. I don't know why every American city doesn't just have tamales on every corner whenever you want. As I was saying, in trying to balance going out to see everything in these new places I'm traveling to, as well as just resting, like there were whole weekends in Utah where I thought like, oh, there's another hike I want to do. There's another thing I want to see, another natural landmark that like I have yet to lay eyes on. And it's like on my bucket list, while also balancing that with, you know, it's exhausting to live that way. It's exhausting to feel like you must see all things at all times. And so I've really tried this year in particular to balance new with simply living, simply just saying it's okay if I want to rest. It's okay if I want to take on less client work. It's okay if I want to do less podcast episodes. It's okay if I want to post less for both Change of Air and my business. It's okay if I just want to be slower. And in choosing to live slower, in giving myself permission to live slower, I have noticed something really important. I have been able to slow down in my daily life just enough through like a meditation in the morning, through running stairs or hills in whatever city I'm in, or going on a morning hike. Certainly did a ton of that recently in Utah. Anything in nature. If I'm staying somewhere in nature, I definitely do that. But I've been able to notice all the really wonderful things around me and also the not wonderful things around me in a way that just gives me more time to process all of it, to really integrate the beautiful things and to really understand the not great things, the things that trigger me. I am able to slow down just enough to kind of go a bit deeper, to really ask myself, why am I reacting this way right now? Why does this complete stranger, who I do not know at all, who's standing in front of me in line, why do they bother me so much? Like, what is that about? Or whatever it is. I'm sure you all have daily things that you're like, huh, why am I responding this way? I've also been able to notice my own patterns and get quite comfortable with them. Like when you slow down just enough, and I don't mean slow down and relax. I don't mean that I'm on vacation. I work all day, every day. As I said, while I very much try to rest, I am always trying to go see things because I'm in new places. By getting quiet enough and slower enough to notice your own patterns, I certainly don't mean like vacation mode. This can be done in regular life. What I have noticed, like when you notice your patterns in yourself over weeks and months, and now for me, this is a full year of noticing my patterns, you can start to make decisions about what patterns you very much want to change. It has been so powerful for me to observe myself as I go about living my life, a life I have actively chosen this time around, which is, for all of us, very, very different than growing up as an adult child of an alcoholic in a life I had very much not chosen. I have relished learning about myself in this completely new way, totally unexpected to me. I was just picking a life I wanted to live. And I had not, as I said, I had not thought this will be the year of noticing. I just started realizing that I had just a little bit more room. Also, I'm sure, you know, they often say travel eyes are fresh eyes. Like I am seeing so many things for the first time that I'm just probably more aware than ever. But even when I spent months in Joshua Tree recently, I was back in Joshua Tree, my old stomping grounds, very familiar. I also had fresh eyes, even though the surroundings were not new to me. So I think this is a skill we can cultivate, whether we travel or whether you're in your same house that you've been in for 20 years. So I have really relished this time and approaching my life, and this may be super familiar to you as well, given that we're ACOAs and we've spent so much of our lives being like, we've got to heal. This year has been about observation first, healing second. And that is a complete 180 from approaching my life from the lens of I have to heal, I am broken, I have to fix myself, or I will never have, ironically, this exact life I'm living, right? But I fully recognize and acknowledge that I have done a lot of healing work over the last decade to perhaps even show up the way I am in my life right now, and the very life I have now, being able to travel, able to work remotely, truly able to live the way I've always dreamed of, that I just didn't think could happen for someone with my upbringing. So I acknowledge that I've done a lot of healing that probably has allowed me to have a year of simply noticing and observing. But what a complete shift to say, I'm going to approach life as, okay, now do you hear the gas? The gas truck comes by. Gas in Oaxaca. And then there's like a cow mooing. I don't know if you can hear that. I hope you can hear that. Otherwise, you're all going to think, like, what is she doing? Record this later. I can't record it later. This is all day, every day in Oaxaca. That said, approaching life as sort of like, let me wake up and live in my joy and simply be present. And, oh, I'm noticing some things about myself that I can change. And wow, there's more healing to be done here is a very different way of living instead of what I had been living in and what I know a lot of you have shared with me that you're living in, which is waking up every morning and saying, like, just our lens is, I am damaged, I am broken, I am ashamed, woe is me, this is hard, it totally bums me out that my parents were alcoholics because now my life is this and there's no escaping this, I will always be an adult child of an alcoholic and like this is unfair. Just a complete shift. And I'm not saying I spent the last many years waking up with all of those things, like an existential dread every morning, but it's just a different lens when we walk around feeling like we need to heal, I need to heal, as opposed to I'm going to wake up and do my life and I'm going to do my best and I'm going to notice what I notice, the good things, the beautiful things, the gas truck that goes by with the moo, the hot tamales guy. I'm going to notice all of those cute, lovely things that I love about this place that I'm in. And I'm going to notice when something frustrates me, when my flight gets canceled, and how do I behave in that? And what do I make it mean? And what old thing from my childhood is that all about, right? And I think all the healing books are powerful healing books for a reason. And I think all of the systems for healing and for therapy, shout out completely to internal family systems in particular. It has been so powerful for me. This is just a side note. But if you are in any way in therapy or thinking about therapy or switching your therapist and actively looking for a therapist, I cannot recommend enough the therapeutic approach of internal family systems, frequently called IFS. My therapist is IFS, and I had other therapists in my life before her, and it was just a completely different way. This is a complete side note, but so important as we talk about it. Just a really different approach than I had ever had in therapy that is all about your parts, all the parts of you, the old parts, the current parts, and how all the younger parts of you in particular, given what we went through growing up, need you, and how you now as an adult who's healed a bit can say like, hey, younger Callie, who is 11 and acts this way constantly about a flight getting canceled. I've got you. I'm old Callie now and I have wisdom and you're safe, right? Very small example. All my therapists out there, I know a lot of you listen. I am in no way trying to be an IFS therapist, and it is far more complicated than that. They sort of ask, like, where is this in your body? How old is it? Highly, highly, highly recommend. So side note there, but like the healing books, any kind of therapy, internal family systems, all of these healing modalities and resources have been so powerful for me. But I also truly believe after a year of living this way, and to be clear, this does not mean you need to live in Mexico for a few months and then Utah for a few months and then Joshua Tree for a few months and then back to Oaxaca for a few months to have this experience. I simply mean that living in observation mode, in noticing mode, in I'm going to wake up as me and do my day mode and see what I see and make time for myself to understand what I see and to understand what I experienced today, has over weeks and months and now a full year of noticing, it has been so profound. More profound for my healing than any other year. And so I want to bring this very way of showing up in life to all of you. You might be listening thinking, is she for real? Is this, she's just telling me to notice and this is suddenly gonna change all this deep, dark, heavy shame and complication that I've been carrying around for years? I agree with you, it is not complicated. But I will say this, it is also not easy, particularly for those of us who have always approached our healing as this very heavy, gritty job that needs to be done. Lots of heavy lifting. This is all very hard, right? That's certainly how I have approached my healing over many years. I want you to be able to experience what it can be like to simply show up every day with a different lens, with a different view. We might even call it a joy lens, maybe even a rose-colored glasses lens, or even as simply, I'm going to wake up and do my best lens. I'm going to prioritize noticing. And something that is so important about noticing, like this is the most important thing, is non-judgment. This is something I work with my clients on in the coaching side of my business. I help clients build their businesses. And as part of building their businesses, yes, it's all about business strategy and stuff. But it is also working through mindset shifts. It is working through emotional blocks. It is healing and clearing old stories so we can step forward into new stories. And one of the most vital aspects of healing and releasing those old stories so that we can create new stories, like new neural pathways, new ways of being, is to allow yourself to notice whatever it is you notice. Whatever comes up for you, whatever triggers you, whatever elicits a strong response in you, even if that response is shame or sadness or anger, the key, the absolute key, is non-judgment. Because what we judge, we are stuck with. If we judge anything about ourselves, we are essentially telling our brains and our egos, like, hold on to this, let's imprint this memory, let's come back to it again and again and again. Like, if we judge the thing, we are telling our brain, more of this, please. Please put this on replay for me every morning and every night when I can't sleep. Please pull up this particular feeling, right? That's what happens when we judge something. I'm going to give you an example. Because I was married to a dog trainer for many years, and we still have a dog walking and training business together, that is all the things you will surreptitiously learn about me through these new podcast episodes. But because I have witnessed and experienced dog behavioral training for so many, many years of my life, I would liken this sort of non-judgment thing to how we would encourage a client to not reinforce bad behavior in their dogs. In this case, let's say, for example, you want your dog to stop growling at people or any behavior. You want your dog to stop doing X, Y, Z. The thing you should absolutely not do is yell and scream at the dog and judge the dog and shame the dog and give tons of attention to the dog while they are actively doing the thing you do not want them to do. What they learn is that the behavior you totally don't want them to do gets them attention. That's what they learn. So when you are triggered or angry or ashamed for a thought, if you judge yourself for being ashamed or for being angry or sad, you're essentially telling your brain, this is awesome. Let's pay tons of attention to me being ashamed. I really want to remember the shame. Please, memory, please commit this to memory. Please pull it up for me all the time. Please play it for me when I'm in the shower, right? Not a thing we want. So, as part of this year of noticing, I have been through that. I have experienced that. And I now want to walk you, again, I know it sounds so simple, but it's this non-judgment piece that's so important. I now want to walk you through how to do this. Because the easy piece, sort of, is just waking up and noticing things, right? The hard thing is the non-judgment. The hard thing is practicing non-judgment. And rather than judging, simply allow what you notice to come through. All of it is present. It is all okay. It is all fine. It is all acceptable. It is all allowed. No judgment, just noticing. Again, I know this sounds so simple that you probably don't even think this is a thing you may need help with. But I know in my soul that it is likely the exact very next step you need to take in your healing, because it has been utterly transformative for me. And I want the same for you, which is why I'm talking about this, which is why this is an episode. But also, this is why I am so excited to share with you that we are going to do this together in the new year. Pause for dramatic effect. Also pause to see if the moo gas truck is coming by or the hot tamale guy is coming by to make any more noise. So I'll say that again. I am so excited to share with you that we're going to do this together in the new year. Next year, 2024, if this is you listening to this podcast episode because the podcast has become so popular, a dream for mine in 2024, and you're listening to this 3 years from now, let's mark the day and time. On Wednesday, January 10th, 2024, at 5 p.m. PST, which is 8 p.m. EST, you can join me and each other in community to simply share what you are noticing. The lovely and the wonderful and the beautiful, the ish, the triggers, the sadness, the shame, and all the in-betweens. We will hold space for each other for an hour every single Wednesday evening for the entire year. Come to all of them. Come to a few of them. Come when you need support. Come when you have space to provide support simply by being in community and helping me hold space for others, for all of you. This will be our space no matter what we notice next year. We will have a place to share all of it every week. And so you get in the habit, this regular daily practice of simply noticing. I will share the way to get the link and join us next year in the show note, the episode notes. I'll also do it on social and email so that you have the link to join us. We'll do it via Zoom. We'll have a privacy policy. We'll have a few little rules around it just so everyone feels so safe and in a very safe and private community. But you'll have it whenever you need it, whenever you want to join. No pressure to join, but just a full, warm, joyous, and supportive invitation to you to come as often as you like, to come as often as you need. No cost, no pressure, no requirements other than showing up and sharing, if you wish, what you've noticed that week. The magic in the mundane, the truly beautiful, and the truly triggering. Know that you will have a safe space to share it all, or listen to others or me share my noticings. I promise I will share more than the gas moo truck outside and the hot tamale guy. I also want to take this opportunity to thank you all for your support for this podcast and for Change of Air and for all the work I'm doing here. This is truly my way of giving back yet more. A podcast listener shared with me the other day, she sent a meme, and I'm going to butcher it because I didn't copy it or prepare to share it, but here we are. Said something like, you know, the greatest work we can do is not get out of the fire, but as soon as we safely get out, go back to the fire with water to help others get out as well. This is my way of giving back yet more. And I think that meetings can be just the very concept of quote unquote meetings about anything to do with alcoholics or anything to do with children of alcoholics, the very concept of meetings can be quite triggering for those of us who maybe had not great experiences with Al-Anon or had unsuccessful experiences with AA via our parents. Like I've shared this before, there's a whole podcast episode about the meetings that you can listen to. But my mother's AA sponsor like took her to bars. And as you know, my mother died of cirrhosis of the liver. So I've spent decades having real issues with AA. That said, my partner is sober many, many years. AA has been transformative for him. Al-Anon was transformative for me at a certain point. So I know the value of those meetings, but I also know they carry a lot of ish. And you may also have meetings, the concept of meetings in your life might feel kind of heavy and not like light and joyful. I would like this year of noticing and these meetings we have together to not only be transformative because we will finally have a regular space to meet and support each other, but also so that these weekly meetings might create powerful new neural pathways about what weekly meetings are. Perhaps this can be a much more joyful way to think about a weekly meeting. You know, if you find yourself thinking like, ugh, weekly meetings, no thank you. I think we can do better. I truly believe we together have a chance to not just get support that's important, but I think that we can create something that is very powerful, effective, and transformative so that we can do this daily, regular life practice of simply noticing, and that through showing up and supporting each other, we can create completely new stories, completely new positive neural pathways for what a weekly meeting can be. And that would just let all the old generational trauma just drop away until, you know, like, so that between meetings and coming to meetings feels so supportive and is light, maybe sometimes heavier depending on what we're noticing and sharing, but it just sits on your nervous system lightly. It just feels warm and supportive and is in absolute service to your healing and your joy. I want us to have that. I want you to be able to know as you go about all of 2024, even if you don't come to them all, even if you just know, even if it is helpful to you to know, Callie is doing this thing. She's noticing more. And I know going about my life that that's available to me, even if you never partake. I want you to know you have that sort of built-in structure and support as you move through your life. Kind of like I always know like when I'm dealing with something tough, whether it's in my relationship or whether it's like I'm triggered by a client or work or whatever, you notice that thing when you know you see your therapist on Friday morning and some thing intense thing happens on Tuesday night. You're like, okay, I can get to Friday morning. Like, I know I have that. So sort of how you approach the rest of those days in between, you just know help is coming. And I think when we know help is available, we can loosen the reins a little bit and we can settle into noticing a little bit more. And so even if you don't come, I hope you all come. I cannot wait to see you. But even if you don't, I want you to move about every single week of 2024 knowing completely you have a place that is just for you, that is totally safe, where you can share what you're noticing and hear what others are noticing. And if no one wants to talk, you know you'll hear me share what I'm noticing. And so that you have a community. I want you to know as you move through 2024, you can practice this art of noticing. It is powerful and transformative. Again, with no judgment. Notice all of it. Allow all of it. It is all okay. Let it pull up a chair and sit next to you while you eat breakfast. But I want you to know that you have that space. So please join me. The details are in the show notes. I will share them on social. I will make sure you get on the email list. Join me. Join us. It is going to be an amazing year. The year of noticing. Thank you. Talk to you all soon.